If you're an established woman in tech who is creating results and making an impact at work, so your workload and stress just keep growing, but promotions and salary bumps remain a distant dream, it's time for a change. Listen, we all know the tech industry has dramatically changed. It's time your career approach did too. You don't need cookie cutter programs or dusty advice from outdated playbooks because what works for tech bros won't work for you. You need individualized, bespoke support to build your brave career, one that reflects who you are as a woman in tech. I invite you to explore career coaching with me. Get all the details, including prices and client results, at tricksteinbach.com. You can stress less, work less, and earn more. You've already earned it. Let's make it happen. Welcome to the Build Your Brave Career podcast, where we flip the script on the tired stereotype that women in and around the tech industry have to be stressed out, overworked, and underpaid. I'm Nicole Tricksteinbach, the International Bravery Coach and your host. Forget what you've been taught. Bravery is not a personality trait available only to the brash. Bravery is a skill, and you already have it. Which is great, because building the skill of bravery is the most powerful way to creating the career and life you really want. As you build your brave, you will stress less, work less, and then earn more. This podcast will help you do just that. Let's dive in. Are you ready to talk about the importance of being rather than doing in your career? Great, because our guest this week is Melissa Rowan. She is a passionate professional with a background in technology who focuses on driving impactful projects. She has former experience as a director of technology and is now a compliance analyst. Yes, I was surprised too. You're really going to enjoy this conversation. She has honed her skills in project management and process improvement to ensure adherence to timelines, requirements, and budgets. Melissa believes in letting go of societal expectations and following a path of strength, joy, and authenticity. I wanted Melissa to guest here on the Build Your Brave Career because she is so early in her career and yet has already identified the importance of being rather than exclusively doing. So feeling good rather than looking good to create long-term and enjoyable success. As soon as we met each other online, her clarity about who she wants to be rather than what she wants to be really stood out to me. You'll hear me get more understanding of just how seriously and thoroughly she implements who over what to dramatically change her life in just a few years. As you listen to our conversation, please use our different stories about moments of clarity and breakthrough to identify beliefs you currently carry that need a revolution, as well as situations you are ready to grow beyond. Let's dive into the conversation. Melissa, I am stoked that you're here. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I am also so excited to be here and to hang out with you.
Awesome. So, Melissa, what is the piece of career advice you wanted to share today?
Gosh, well, as I was thinking about this, I've really honed it into sharing some background and stories about mindset shifts and identity changes and building my brave life that has happened in the last 3 or so years. Nothing happened overnight, but it's been a complete transformation, and I'm excited to dive into it.
Okay. So I wish that this was a video medium. It is not. It's not going to be, but I have curiosity all over my face. Like, what? I want to know what it is. So if I'm going to cherry pick a piece out of that, just to kickstart us for everyone to listen to, is not overnight, complete transformation, at least 3 years.
Okay. Yes.
Take us through it. Let's go. Okay. This is the brave story. Let's do it.
Yes. So it culminated in this 12-month span from about fall of 2022 through the fall of 2023. And in that 12-month span, I got engaged to my amazing husband. We bought a house, moved out of the place we've been renting. We got a puppy. We planned a wedding. We got married. And then I accepted a new job. So at the end of that 12 month, I looked back and I was like, my life looks nothing how it looked like 12 months ago, which was wild and complete transformation.
Okay. Let's baseline this. We love data, right? Let's baseline it. So you were dating. Were you living together?
Yes.
Okay. You were renting.
Yes.
You had no pet.
Correct.
And what was your job?
And I was director of technology.
Director of technology. Okay. And where were you living when you were renting?
And we live in Summit County. So for people not familiar, it's in the mountains of Colorado. And we stayed in the same vicinity.
Okay. So especially for my global audience, okay, if you go onto Google and you put in mountains, Colorado, the chance that a picture from Summit County will come up is like 99.9%. It is gorgeous. Skiing, beautiful homes, outdoor, mountain biking, the whole nine yards. Okay. So that's the baseline. Then after the holistic 3 years, but especially those 12 months. So you're married, you have a dog, you've purchased a house. And what is your job?
And so my new job that I accepted is now a compliance analyst.
Oh, walk me through that. What?
Yes. And so to tag on, because I did say this was a 3 year thing, and I hate to beat an old drum, but I do think 2020 enlightened people as we learned how fast our daily lives changed. We realized how important our time and our energy is. And during COVID, we were stressed and just mentally taxed and always adapting, never knowing what the next day would bring. And that's when I was building my career. I'd started in help desk. I moved to IT manager. Then during COVID is when kind of, I don't know how people classify the years of COVID anymore, but towards the end of it and right before that transfer, the fall of 2022 is when I was promoted to director of technology.
Okay. So in 2020, so globally, there are no norms because this is so new historically, right? Like 2020, the lockdowns, 2021, the extended lockdowns with the United States decided was just not a thing. 2022, beginning of renormalization, because nobody thinks about the people with stutters when they name things. Yeah. And then 2023, okay, was where it became, oh, not a pandemic, but a epidemic. Is that what it's called?
When I think so.
It's like concrete or something. Two technologists talking about this is kind of funny.
Help.
Yeah. It's like, what is this called? Okay. So at 2021, so the extended lockdown period, which the US skipped, is when you were promoted into director.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In that time frame.
That's a lot.
Yes. And so I felt really lucky to get a promotion during COVID. And then just as you move, as I was moving up in the ranks, the job was obviously changing, started doing, it was a small team, but people management, bigger strategy to focus on, much larger responsibility in running the technology department and running the technology for the company. And I don't think in this span of a few years, I don't think I'm alone in feeling the shifts and pulls in transition, whether someone's going through a transition or they feel a pull that something's even about to happen for them, or they just went through a transition and they might be looking back thinking, oh my gosh, my life has totally changed in the last few years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So when you were, what size company was it when you were director of technology?
It was just over 100 employees. It's okay. Local here in Summit.
Okay, awesome. And what did you, like, what pulled you towards a career shift? Because going from director of technology to compliance analyst is not a small shift.
No.
What pulled you over there?
Oh my goodness. This is where nothing happened overnight. And leading into this and probably growing up even, I was achieving a lot, like I'm sure most people who listen to this show, high achievers, maybe type A. And from the outside, it looks terrific. You have the job, you have everything on the outside. And that's like high achievers can just go, 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 even when they're feeling depleted and even when we're feeling empty. But I wasn't enjoying the life. It was stressful. I was caught up in perfection. I was building this successful, so to say, life that I thought I wanted. And all my hard work, I wasn't even enjoying it. And so I started working with it.
Okay. I have to stop you there, Melissa, because I was just interviewed on a podcast called Quietly Visible for Introverted Leaders, which is hilarious because I am an extrovert and I'm a people person. So it was all about the mistakes that one makes. And one of the things I shared on there is that I was in burnout for sure and did not realize I was in burnout until like 3 years later. I had like gone on sick leave. I got like all of these weird infections, medical leave, the whole nine yards. But it was only 3 years later when I was learning about being, because I, as a manager, had put one of my people into burnout on accident, one of my best people. And so as we were processing through that, I'm reading this checklist and I'm like, all of those symptoms, what? So let's get specific right there. What, now looking back, what were the symptoms that you were not enjoying it?
I am so glad you brought this because this was still the first company I worked for post-grad. Like, I said how I kind of grew up and got promoted. And so this was still the first company post-college for me. And I'd never done a career transition before. And so I just kept going and doing the things that I thought I should be doing. And probably the most prominent example I can give, I'm the director of tech, so I'm running all the hardware and software and strategy and everything for the company. And I'm walking around, and part of it is obviously help desk for our internal employees. And when I walk by and I see the printer isn't working properly, and I just don't have capacity and like mentally energy to be like, oh, let me fix that. Like, I'm here to solve the printer issue. Let me fix it. So I see the printer's broken and it's just like crushing. Like, and that is a small thing. I thought, let me fix the printer, check it out, see what needs to happen. But it's those little things that we're starting to feel huge. And mentally, that's probably the mental, being mentally crushed is what I felt in burnout. Was experiencing little things. I was like, I see that needs to be fixed, and I cannot fix it.
So, like, did your body go hot or cold? Did you like freeze? Did you like just completely ignore it? Did you yell? Did you cry?
I think that is, I just didn't do anything. I just, you know, you almost, you're so, we're so trained when we're in that, when we're in the high achieving and we're going after exactly what we think and have been told to go after. It's such a autopilot moment to be like, okay, I mean, sure, I probably put it on my list because that's type A and the high achiever to be like, yeah, it has to be done. But to just feel crushed by the little things.
Yes. It's like,
and it's heavy.
The freeze plus the flee, right? Because we have, I'm going to watch my language because last time I accidentally did the whole thing. So it's, you know, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and fornicate. Not the other word that I used last time to my listeners with little ones. Yeah, that's really interesting because that's where habits, that's the power of the habit, right? You had the habit of, okay, that goes on to the to-do list. So that habit kind of kept going, but the emotional weight was like, oh no, I can't. So my moment was when there was this very high level publication and I was running communications for an executive, and the executive had handed over some pictures and we had signed off on the content, and then something went off with the layout. To this day, I still don't understand what happened. So the layout came out and the executive looked horrid. I mean, horrid. Okay. I'm not going to go into all the details because it was horrid. And so at my response, I pushed back my chair, walked to the bathroom, started sobbing as soon as the door shut, and made myself so upset that I puked, washed out my mouth, went back to my desk, and started making phone calls. It was looking back on that moment, it's the power of habit, but also the sheer overwhelm, exhaustion, just doneness, that there was a complete disconnect between what you're talking about here, which is like, hey, 2020 helped me find my values and that time matters and all the other things, right? And my day-to-day reality where I'm just like a robot, habitually achieving and to-do list and all the nonsense. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that little moment that makes one realize,
oof. Like, yeah. Oof. And luckily, I don't know if this is how you felt in that time, but luckily it got to a point where I felt like the company deserved someone who cared and who had that mental capacity to care about the printers and care about all these things. And it's funny because at one point I did, and I wanted to be there, but it was just, who knows, maybe it was in the middle of that 2022 to 2023 transformation. So obviously we had the puppy at home and the wedding planning going on and new homeowner stuff. But I was thinking, I was like, I think this was part of when the identity shift then started to happen, because I was like, I think they need someone who cares and has capacity and knowledge to do even the bigger things aside from the printers and stuff like that. The printers are just my smallest example, but it is true in the small things that if the small things are heavy, that's my internal red flag to be like, all right, I think you need to step back, recharge, get some resources to be able to take care of those now.
Wow. So I had interrupted you and you were about to say what you did after the printer. And I was like, whoa, stop. We need to get into the symptoms. So like, what did you do?
Okay. Well, it wasn't right then with the printer, but after, you know, 2021. So in that kind of getting promotion and starting to make decisions about what my life, what I wanted my life to look like, I found a therapist and she changed my life. I love her. And it's been life-changing, and I will scream this from the rooftops. And what we practiced was the practice of being rather than doing. Oh. So she challenged me to step out of doer and into being. And of course, when she first told me this, I'm like, what are you talking about? How do I do that? What does that even feel like? Because when you tell a high achiever, type A, anybody could probably relate to say, you know, you need to stop doing things. That is a piece of our identity when we've always been producing and putting things out in the world. It's like taking off an arm or a leg, or it's taking a piece of us when you say you need to stop doing. So this was also months of practice, and I am still on this journey of stepping out of doer and into being.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. And I think most of the people listening as well. It's so intriguing because your experience is the most common of experiences for women in male-dominated industries. Reach the level with performance, and then performance is what either slows it down, ends it, or burns you out. And so the be and the do and the be, the level in career success fundamentally shifts. At the beginning, it's perform, do, right? Perform, perform, perform. And of course, we never stop performing, but the be, the perception, becomes ever more important as we move up. So as you were telling me the story, Melissa, of like, oh, why didn't I just start doing the printer? Everything inside of me as a coach, but also as a former leader, former executive, was like, oh, she's going to tell me a burnout story, right? Because at a director level, that's not your job, right? But when we're in the do, 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 perform, 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 and not the be, the perception, the perceiving of, oh, this is so common, so common.
Yes. And I love hearing, I'm thankful that the conversations are happening right now. I'm thankful for the space that you hold for people to have these conversations with each other about this, because I think the best way to learn is through each other.
And stories. That is actually why I started this podcast. And I've shared this many times, but the number one most common emotional word for women in tech, which I'm going to presume are women in STEM, right, is lonely.
Interesting.
And I know that I thought I was the only one in the bathroom crying, only to learn so many women. I thought I was the only one being sexually harassed. Nope. So many women. I thought I was the only one who discovered I was sick. Nope. So many women. That's why I started this podcast. And now, knowing that as you were telling the story, I know there are at least two people who are going to listen to this episode whenever they listen to it and go, uh-oh, that's me. That's me.
Right? Yeah.
And hopefully they're going to turn to this doing and being, perform, perception.
Yeah.
And also reach out and get the support that they need. Therapy is fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What else helped you?
So that was really, and then it was practicing that. And I think the bravery comes from letting go of the doing. Letting go, separating your identity from the performance. And that right there is, I'm like, how do we do that? How do we separate identity from our performance? And so just digging into that, and that the practices that I've found through there is what's changed my life. And I think it's put it on a whole new trajectory.
Wow. So I have a podcast episode called The Self-Concept. I'll link it in the show notes. But can you share one concrete practice that maybe people listening could take up on?
Yes. I have a few practices that I love and a few questions. So I will first share my practice and people can You can take it or leave it. I think I've told every one of my friends about this. I am a
I love it.
journaler. Yeah. I love to journal, and I never had a good routine. It was a great place for me to just dump out when I got to my tipping point and my bucket was filled and I was needing to release. I'd go to the journal. But it was in April, in the middle of my transition year. It was in April, and I said, I just want to start journaling a little tiny bit every day. And I didn't want to use the cliche, what are you grateful for? Because that never worked for me. But I wanted to cultivate some happiness in my life because my mind was so stuck in, the perfectionism and the performance, and I didn't do well enough. So, like, I need some optimism and positivity. So the questions and is, where did I smile today? And I can kind of do variations on that of like, when did I feel happy? But the most concrete is, when did I smile today? And I write one sentence about that. And it's usually something about walking the dog, or I enjoyed getting outside. And then my next question is, what am I excited about tomorrow? And again, it's I 90% of it, well, this is interesting. 90% of the time, what I'm excited for the next day is my coffee and my workout. And that's okay. That's what I write every day because I am genuinely, I love those little daily routines that I have. And so that's one of my journaling practices. Every single night, I do it on vacation. I do it when I'm traveling and everything. And it now is something that I look for in the day. Now I've been doing it for, gosh, it'll be a year in a few months. And now I look for, oh my gosh, I'm on the walk with my dog and it's so beautiful because it's snowing right now and the snow plows are out working and this is just so fun to live here. And I noticed that now in the moment. It wasn't right away, but that's one practice that I have.
What I love about these questions is they are within your circle of control.
Yes.
Where did I smile today? What am I excited about tomorrow? Yeah, beautiful. Oh, that's so generous.
Yeah, and I think it like 'cause when you're asking yourself, when did I smile today? There's some scientific evidence behind it, which I don't know, so I won't even try to speak to it, but it drops you into the moment. So when you're going to bed, and you might, I'm like, typically I had a racing mind. I think about the conversations that didn't go right, or the things that just didn't get done today, and things that were coming tomorrow. And when I could step out of that monkey mind and ask myself, when did I smile? And then I'd pull up, oh, I smiled when my husband made me a cappuccino. It put me back in that moment. And then I go to bed just feeling much more relaxed and grateful for my life. Even if that was the only time I smiled during the whole day or something, it dropped me into that moment. And that's what I think is so powerful about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the specificity leads to the vulnerability, which leads to connection and also with self, connection with self. Yeah,
Yes.
beautiful. You have been so generous. And I just have this like hanging thought in my mind, which is I don't think a lot of the listeners are going to know what a compliance analyst does and what pulled
Oh,
you
yes.
towards it. So can we just take a real quick hop sketch and just explain what that is, what pulled you towards it?
Yes. Well, I feel funny because I still feel like I'm new. I'm not quite 6 months into this compliance. They call it GRC world, which was new to me. It's governance, risk, compliance. So currently in my first 5 months, my day-to-day has been we've done one audit. So I was evidence gathering where we have frameworks like people might be familiar with PCI or HIPAA or FedRAMP is a federal framework that we follow to.
And for the global audience, things like GDPR, Basel yes. II, et cetera. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. So we have a few different frameworks. SOC 2 is another one. And each of those frameworks have controls that it says you must do XYZ with your training, your personnel, running background checks. And it goes into engineering as well with code deployments. And I was gathering evidence on that. So I looked through those frameworks. I also do vendor risk assessments. So when we're bringing new vendors, it's our supply chain. And I assess the risk that bringing this vendor in is going to add to our environment. And those are probably the top two things I do as an analyst right now. But I know that it grows.
Yes.
And I know that there's a lot more that expands beyond just those two.
Yes. And so the compliance, well, GCR, could include things like process design. It could include data formulations. It could include governmental, mm-hmm. like you said, governmental regulations. It could even include behavior audits, which is fascinating. So if some of this is pinging in your brain, dear listener, this is something that you want to check out on Google, right? GCR. You can also check out compliance analyst. You can check out cybersecurity. Like, there's just so many elements mm-hmm. to this area that open up. And most of us have no idea that it's there. The only reason I know any of this is because I happened to be the person assigned to a GRC project, which then opened up a world for me when GDPR came in. So global data something compliance, which is European. Mm-hmm. I happened to already have that experience. And so I had the confidence to throw my hat in the ring to lead the change for the implementation on 6 million client accounts. It's a really interesting, cool. intriguing, and not well-known piece of technology.
Yes, it is not well-known. I laugh at the funny story. I think people could relate just being in tech. I have people ask me what I do, and my parents included. And I try to break it into the simplest terms possible, and I still get blank stares.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, it doesn't really matter what I do. Let's talk about something else. Let me tell you about my trail runs or our dog or something, because it is not very well known. It is very important. We work very closely with our security team. And definitely there's a lot of moving pieces with it.
I cannot remember who it was. It was at the Grace Hopper celebration a few years ago, before 2020, we were all in person. And I'm so sorry that I cannot remember her name or even the company she was with, but she was really, really senior. And she said, when you think about your risk team, you think about your security team, you think about your compliance team, here's what I want you to think of. One of two things. And she had this really cool image behind her. She said, on one, it's thinking about the unintended consequences and preventing them. And on the other, it's acknowledging the unintended consequences and resolving them. Wow, that's such an interesting way to think about it. And it's definitely not a full and complete picture, but I think it makes it like a little simpler for, you know, lay people to sort of kind of get it. Like,
yes,
maybe
that makes it digestible.
Yeah.
I might need to start using that explanation when I'm explaining it to others.
If it comes to me, I'll send you an email. But I remember where it's like those moments where people bring wisdom to you. I remember where I was. I remember the image behind her, and I forget everything else. So, a fantastic woman in technology that brought that into my life. Thank you so much, because I'm sharing it to our community here on the podcast, mm-hmm. which then brings us to your brave role model.
Yes, I have been thinking so much about this, and I am excited to say it's my parents who have been married for 42 years. And I think the way that they partner is so inspirational. Now, I'm at the point where I'm getting to reflect on growing up and how they parented. And I can start to realize, I mean, I'm not a parent myself yet, and I can start to just think about the decisions and the scenarios that they went through. And every new phase of life is unknown. Like when I have an older brother as well, and when I go to middle school and I was asking to go to the movies, and then when we started driving and left for college and my parents would take new jobs or change roles, and now they're helping their parents who are aging. And to not take the easy path and to keep on with strength and hope, it's leading by example and never giving up. And I think that is the bravery, is to walk with that freedom, strength, and hope in the face of unknown. Because when I think of bravery too, it doesn't feel like bravery. It feels terrifying. Yes. It feels embarrassing. It's yes. uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's bravery. And yes. so I'm just in awe of the bravery that they've had in every unknown next chapter.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Ah, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing that we give the people around us when we do feel the terror and the discomfort, and then have that brave moment yeah. of choosing to be in that and move forward. Beautiful, beautiful. So one of the things that I've heard from my audience is the desire for a few words of encouragement for other women. Do you have any that you'd like to share?
Yes, I think it'll go back to being brave and let go of the doing. If you feel yourself trapped in performance, it's huge and it's really hard to start, and it probably feels daunting. And I'm open to anybody with questions. I mean, like we've said at the beginning, we are still on this path. We're all together in it. And I'd emphasize just letting go of the societal expectations and following your path of strength and hope and authenticity. And it's not a waste of time in what you're doing. If I was just speaking out to somebody, what you're doing today matters, and you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. And to feel that is the best thing in the world, to feel like you are doing a good job. And letting it sink in and keep pressing forward to being your most authentic self.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So your LinkedIn will be in the show notes. And I heard you say, hey, if you have any questions, reach out. So yes. Melissa, thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be part of the Brave community, and I've been able to connect with a few of your other speakers as well. And I hope this resonated with at least one listener today.
Oh, that is for sure. 100%. Okay. Till next time, everyone. Bye. If the Build Your Brave Career podcast is helping you flip the script in your own career, if it's helping you reduce your stress, work smarter, or create more income, please share this with a friend. Till next time, you are already brave. Now go build your brave.